CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
I kind of would like to get my hands on Michael Cole, because he is a sniveling, rodent-like, smarmy, arrogant, pathetic little son of a bitch.
That's being awful polite. I'll tell you what, after all you've done for me, we'll make that favor happen.
All right, buddy. I'll see you out there.
All right. Thank you.
I'm gonna say.
No one was happier to see JR get fired last week than Cole. And now the
angle. Look at the fire on the angle lock. That's an angle lock there. You got there. My Jack Swagger is, as JR said one time, to Cole stand like a drunk man.
Nobody's at this match.
The team of good old JR.
Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. And tonight we have another round of suspects. I will begin with the man who took a bite out of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
Good evening on this weekend before Halloween, or as we say in Mexico, buenas noches para todos los participantes del North American Wrestling Connection podcast. How's that? Since we were in Mexico this week.
Close enough. And our man with the numbers, that would be Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
You bet I have numbers. I have numbers coming out of my ass.
TMI?
And TMI.
But that's okay. And, hey, how about that? Our table rounds out. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian Henniger.
You know, some days in professional wrestling are days you just remember. Days that will go down in the annals of the history of this fine sport of ours. WrestleMania 3, Montreal. But October 21st, 2011 will be one of those days as well. Ladies and gentlemen, and others, Zack Ryder has a pay-per-view match.
Win!
Very much.
Or title, nonetheless.
Yep, the U.S. title will be him versus Heel Ziggler.
Yep, but we'll be getting to that at a later point in time.
Well, we will get to that as soon as I play one more thing.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Mm-hmm.
And to that... We will be talking about the Vengeance pay-per-view later in the evening. I'm going to speak briefly about Bound for Glory and the fact that TNA missed out on an enormous opportunity and essentially did nothing but piss a lot of the fan base off. They built a very strong story in pushing Robert Roode into the main event to make this man a contender. Of course, we heard how much Hogan buried him leading into this, saying, oh no, he can't make it as a champion. Oh no, he's not ready. It's not his time. This kind of stuff is that negative momentum we always talk about. Classic wrestling booking. The less momentum you walk into, the better your chances of winning. Jason, what the hell happened?
Here's exactly what happened. Robert Roode was supposed to win the belt, but in around mid-afternoon on Sunday, Hogan said, you know what, fuck it, he's not ready. Excuse my language, that's pretty much what he said. He said, you're not ready, and we're going to basically have you lose to a one-legged guy. Because Kurt Angle was pretty much one leg because he blew out his hamstring, as evidenced by what happened on Thursday night at Impact, which we'll get to in a minute.
Exactly. And so they screwed up their own booking at this point.
Who does that?
TNA on a regular basis.
Vincent
now,
Russo.
So, Statboy, you know, clarify this for me. Then we get to this week's Impact, where they decide, well, maybe Kurt was too hurt to do this, so let's just hand the belt over to James Storm.
Yeah, that hot shotting was, well, A, prototypical TNA, but B, that's right, you give it to the partner, the guy who wasn't really getting pushed. I'll blame Russo anyway, VRM, and you'll like it. Sorry,
now,
he's a convenient scapegoat.
He is. And so, Brian, you know, we have here, thankfully, not a drug-related 1 minute, 30-second title match on Impact. Does this even encourage you to watch the product?
I think I can sum up my feelings about this to Robert Roode in one phrase. A phrase that he is quite familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Roode, sorry about your damn luck.
However, what was even worse about this pay-per-view? Okay, and there was a one worse thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that possible? Okay.
It's called a Hogan face turn.
Just nonsensical, out of nowhere, unnecessary.
Because remember, you know, when Hogan came to TNA and there was a prediction of when Hogan would become the center force. I think this is it, isn't it? Isn't it?
Probably. If it hasn't happened already, this would have to be it.
Mm-hmm. Because Hogan now a face. He and Sting are now best buds. Eric Bischoff's son has been exposed as Eric Bischoff and now is a face referee because he's, you know, they're doing the whole Vince Shane thing all over again, which is not original, correct?
Mm-hmm. As far as I know.
Okay.
Oh, how I've tried to wipe that from my memory, too.
I know.
Because, you know, Bischoff is, you shouldn't wear the Bischoff name and all that sort of stuff. And it's just the booking is horrible. Horrible, horrible booking.
To top this all off, Impact Wrestling this week, not only did it have a 1 minute, 30-second title match, but the total in-ring time for this two-hour program, clocked in from my other numbers guy, Mikey, 7 minutes and 53 seconds.
I think there's a sound for that.
I can't find my fail. I couldn't find my fail sound, but actually. I'll just put it down that they really aren't encouraging me to come back. So
when you decide not to be lame anymore, give me a call.
Yeah, that's about right. Wow.
To clarify this, I spoke with my dear mother, who is not a wrestling fan, and I understand completely that she is not a wrestling fan. I mentioned this to her. And she said, then why are they even bothering having a television show? Why even call it a wrestling show if you're not going to have any wrestling on it?
Burn! No, I got one even better. What was their big thing? Wrestling matters? Not this week.
Oh, no.
Less wrestling on this show than a 30-minute episode of Wrestlelicious.
Wrestlelicious, baby, yeah.
Worst Typho?
What?
Typho's the Wrestlelicious freak. Well, it's just the fact that almost all of the matches that WWE aired this week on both Raw and SmackDown were longer than the total in-ring time of this week's Impact. So,
and what's the most unbelievable thing about this? This episode of Impact got one of, I believe, the five highest ratings it did all year with a 1.34.
And
yeah, go ahead.
And Bischoff's like, haha, look at that. Check that out. How about them apples? You like that? We got you guys again. We got you guys on another swerve with Rude. Bischoff, you're not encouraging us to stick around, really.
Well, I love PW Insider's retort to that, you know, because I posted this in NAWC, and I love it, and I want to bring this up. And I think this is a very, very, very good point.
Please.
And Dave Scherer, who unfortunately I don't pay for anymore, but he said this. Now if the rating holds up for a week and it actually improves on his watch, which hasn't been the case, yes, he has a good point. But if the Bound for Glory buy rate comes in and it's low, and it turns out that a lot more people tuned in last night to see what happened on the company's biggest show of the year rather than buy it, and then the rating drops back into the 1.0 to 1.1 range, I have a question for him. Will you then admit you were wrong, Eric, unquote? And I'm going to say they're exactly right. The ratings are going to drop, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, and then, you know what makes me even madder about this is the fact that I think Bischoff is going to use that to see, all your TNA originals that everybody wants, they don't draw. So now I've got to put the belt on Jeff Hardy, or Jeff Jarrett, or Sting. Or heck, Angle's got one leg, he can still hop around and wrestle. Let's put it back on him.
Oh, dear.
It's just irritating, and it unfortunately, Eric, you're not encouraging me to come back. I'm proud to say I have not watched TNA since this particular episode, as in the episode right after Bound for Glory last year.
So this is your year anniversary.
This would be my one-year anniversary, because at that show last year, you did the exact same fucking thing and had less than 10 minutes of wrestling, including a 45-minute talk segment to open your show. I never want to hear how bad a Triple H monologue is when you got 45 minutes of people blathering about whatever.
Can I just say something?
Say whatever you need.
Do you guys realize right now how stupid I feel?
About?
The fact that a few weeks ago, I actually paid money to see one of their tapings at the Civic Coliseum in Knoxville.
No, that's
fine.
No.
I mean, you money actually changed hands.
That's fine.
No.
The house shows are fine.
No, the house shows are cool, because at least you come out of there with a handful of autographs and a couple of handshakes.
No, mm-hmm. this was an Impact taping.
So you went to an Impact taping. Big deal. So
and?
Oh, gosh.
I'm in the middle. I'm stuck.
No, the funny thing about it was, and I think I mentioned this last week, was the fact that if you went to the local direct auto insurance in Knoxville, if you went down there, you could get a signed autograph by the Pope. And if you signed up for a free rate quote, you get 2 free tickets to the show.
That I remember you telling me about.
Yeah. So, like I said, I was the sucker. I actually paid for my seat.
Well, no, you were not the sucker. You really weren't.
No, the suckers are the ones that actually paid money to see Bound for Glory.
Well, and the thing is, I don't think TNA actually releases their buy rates, so we'll never know how well it drew.
No, but there's usually a speculative guess. There's usually somebody's got a number out there. But to be honest, I just think that between this nonsensical title change, the bad payoff for this Robert Roode thing. Actually, there is one thing that I'm going to give Eric Bischoff credit for. He's done a solid for TNA by devaluing Robert Roode and occupying James Storm. Now the Fed can't take beer money away. That's the worst part. These guys could be in a better place right now. They could be helping save the tag team division in WWE, help rebuild it, and make something out of it, because beer money in the Fed would be huge.
God, would they ever.
I'm sorry. Josh, cover your ears. I'm going to play it anyway.
Oh, dear.
I know. It's going to be so awesome.
That sounds like Pinkie Pie myself.
No, it's
Rainbow Dash.
Mm-hmm. And the face she makes that goes with it is even more awesome. But at the end of the day, it pretty much hamstrings beer money. But some people are saying, oh, but this is how you get them both into the main event. Well, you could have done it the same way if you'd put the belt on Roode and had James Storm come bouncing in and say, oh no, you don't, and let them fight over it that way. But I'm not Eric Bischoff, and I'm thankful.
But man, you could have your own beer brand.
Well,
I think WWE is going to have more fun trying to get the ice cream brand off the ground, since Punk decided not only to demand it as contract, he managed to hold one up for the TLC poster that's floating around out there.
Oh, which is beautiful. Oh, that's awesome.
You bet your happy ass it's beautiful.
I was thinking about this. See, Good Humor made the originals, and they have said categorically, no, we're not making them again. There are at least a dozen ice cream companies out there. I'm sure one of them would love having the WWE license. Shop it around, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does Ben & Jerry's have the facilities to make it?
Sweet Bunny would.
No, I don't think Ben & Jerry's does, but Blue Bunny, I would not be surprised.
Blue Bunny, Edie's is another one locally.
Edie's, Breyers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Blue Bunny, they make the ice cream bars you eat at Disney World.
Ah, that's why their name keeps coming up. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And let's see. Speaking of products, I've got to throw a couple things out here. There's word out about some trademarks that have been added to WWE's extensive library, and I need to point one out specifically. One of these trademarks is the name Ryback.
Oh, yes.
Now, hands up to anybody who knows where that is from.
Yep, immediately.
Nope, not me.
No, Statboy? I don't.
Statboy, I see your hand up. Give it to me.
Yep. All right. The Ryback was actually originally an OVW way back when in the mid-2000s. He is the nickname of one Ryan Reeves. You better know him as Skip. Yip, yip, yip. What a do, Sheffield.
Yeah!
Go away.
I'm fine.
No, you win, because you're absolutely right. Ryback is a amalgamated name that Ryan Reeves used in OVW when apparently he wasn't allowed to no longer use his nickname that he had used back in Tough Enough in 2004, a.k.a. Silverback Reeves.
That's because of course, Mark Henry.
The world's strongest champion.
Precisely. So, Ryback was a name that he picked up and had been using in Ohio Valley, and then and it sounds like he's going to be repackaged for his hopefully soon return to WWE. I missed you, big man. I'm looking forward to seeing him back. I really am. So
I'm with you there.
Let's see. Just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, and have you been seeing the vignettes for the returning Brodus Clay?
Yes, I liked what they're doing with that, actually.
Me too. They're building, you know, it's the same way Mark Henry has gotten back over again. You build him up as a monster.
And it sounds like we may have a collision of monsters down the line. I don't think they're not going to throw Clay directly into the main event picture. But once Big Show and Mark Henry are done butting heads, I think it'd be fun to have let Clay play with one of those two.
Probably Big Show if he's going to come. Brodus is going to come back as a heel.
Yeah. So, but for now, it seems the Fed had a wonderful time in Mexico, it looks like. I thought, especially SmackDown, looked especially crisp. I was really satisfied with both shows. And I know somebody's going to say it, so I'm going to say it right now. John Morrison was not buried this week.
No. If you're looking for buried, just check up Jack Swagger on Monday night. Bazinga.
That's closer. That's a whole lot closer because Morrison got in a lot of offense in both matches. In fact, he got his finisher off on SmackDown and essentially was selling like a madman for Mark Henry.
Oh, dear God.
Just the beautiful acrobatics that went into the setups for the finisher both Monday and Friday. They're going to do something with Morrison. It's just a matter right now. It's for now he's going to be a bump machine for a few people. Then we're going to get him into a program. I'm not worried, so nobody else please.
No, and Alberto Del Rio came home to a hero's welcome. Thank you very much.
Who else saw the Viva El Patron sign in the second row at SmackDown?
Yep.
There you go, baby. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
This was also a huge opportunity for a lot of CMLL guys. Mysterio pretty much threw some names out that he hoped would get some tryouts. This includes a lot of legacy guys. Dr. Wagner 3, Hijo de la Parca, Bestia 666, three or four others were given tryouts. There's no confirmation one way or the other how many got contracts, but you know, who knows? You know, we may get a few more luchadores in the company.
And you know, that's not a bad thing.
It's not, especially. Let me ask this. Who dug Hunikara Mysticara tonight?
Oh, great stuff.
That match told a phenomenal story. And you know what? Kudos to the WWE promo department again. They made that little 3-minute sizzler that they showed before the match. They did a great job. It built up the story perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And they told, I mean, you hear all the time that they told a story, but they did. They told a really good story in the ring. And now, you know, that Sin Cara Negra has been, by the way, I thought those names were kind of cool. Sin Cara Azul and Sin Cara Negra.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they've set up a really good story. I think next time we see Hunico, he will be out of the Sin Cara clothes. And he's going to try to end Sin Cara Azul's career for good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great, great match.
It's the beginning, not the end.
Oh, yeah, we're not done yet. I think Hunico is going to come back in a different mask once he gets back into this country, despite Lucha tradition. But Rey Mysterio pseudo-defies Lucha tradition that he does not wrestle with his mask on when he's in Mexico. It's my understanding.
He does not?
It's my understanding. I may be wrong on that. Because since he was unmasked in WCW, by Lucha tradition, he is not supposed to be wrestling with his mask on.
However, there is one big reason as to why he is now. You got to remember, in WCW who is billed as Rey Mysterio Jr.
Right.
In the WWE, he's billed as Rey Mysterio. Technically, that's two different characters, but it's really, really goofy.
Well, the thing is, I think the vast majority of fans in Mexico understand that he didn't want to unmask, and it was just a failed attempt by WCW to make him more "quote unquote" marketable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fans, the fans understand that he didn't want to unmask, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought what was really good, what I've been loving, which has also been so far under the radar, is Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes has been been, in my opinion, one of the best heels this year that no one has watched and no one has commented on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't worry. Now that he's in a higher profile feud with Randy Orton, there will be some comments coming, I'm sure.
Baby oil.
Besides that one. But yeah, you're right. Cody Rhodes has been doing some wonderful, wonderful stuff. His promo work has been very good. Tonight was scary good.
Exactly.
And he brought back the classic Intercontinental Championship as God intended.
Mm-hmm.
And he also did something, and excuse me, continuity. He mentioned legacy. He mentioned his father. Oh, it was beautiful stuff.
The worker in me is enjoying the fact that he made a comment about a receipt.
Yes, he did.
Definition of receipt: return / payback for a deed done. So we'll see who's getting the receipt on Sunday between him and Randy. But we will get to that, because they're the next big thing that I want to get into. And unfortunately, I'm worried that we're going to get interrupted by the GM. So we're going to get to one other little thing. That I wanted to point out. I know most of you guys don't get the pay-per-views, but you did notice, especially tonight on SmackDown, that Carlos Cabrera has had a new sidekick lately, Marcelo. Who's got the new name? Stupid me didn't write it down.
Hold on. WWE Spanish announce team. Hold on.
Chat room, help me out. Come on, guys.
Commentators.
Carlos Cabrera has a new partner.
Marcelo Rodriguez.
Thank you. Marcelo Rodriguez has taken the place of Hugo Savinovich, who has been released from WWE. I haven't been able to find out why. I'm curious, though. It might be health related. The man was exceptionally overweight. He was heavier than Jim Ross. And I don't know if he was as roadworthy, you know, if he was as road ready as he might have been in younger days. Or maybe he, you know, I know it wasn't, he was not sick and tired of having the table destroyed in front of him. They celebrate that. They have celebrated that in 28 Segundos. I'm sure somewhere he still has written down somewhere the record for getting that table destroyed, which was 18 minutes into a pay-per-view. Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, they did an article about that in WWF Magazine back a couple years ago, and they showed him and Carlos standing in front of the table holding, like, shields and swords, like, bring it on, bitch!
And like I said, 28 Segundos.
We heard nothing. Bring it on, man.
they celebrated it. They even joked about a night that not only did their main table get destroyed, that somebody brought out a substitute table and that was gone within the hour. I don't know which show that was, so, you know, if anybody wants to research that, you know, get back to me. But, you know, Hugo, you know, we do miss you, man. You know, I hope the parting was at least mutual and agreed upon, and not, you know, not you just getting thrown out the door like they tend to do with Jim Ross.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, we knew that was coming.
Yeah.
May I have your attention, please?
I have just received an
email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Xbox 360.
Let me see that. And I quote, "You forgot the most important thing that happened on Raw this week, that JR smacked the taste out of Michael Cole's mouth."
Yeah.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it seems that Michael Cole was still able to commentate on SmackDown this week, which indeed is a shame.
Oh, yes.
The good news, bad news of this, though, was it was some great satisfaction, and strangely enough, it actually brought ratings up for Raw, mainly because there's more than it's more than just our lovely host who wants to see Michael Cole get it. So, I think right now we need to take a short time out and savor that moment. So, gentlemen, if you will sit back and relax, we need to pay some bills. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone than chat mail.
I have to hit you again.
On the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Argiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Entertainment news, exclusive interviews, and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we can't tell you what we have for the new season of the CLW 83 Night Shift this fall, since we have no idea what we're doing yet. Instead, here are some of the things that we know we won't have for the new season. Stupid Petrix, Dumb Viewer Mail Segments, Ron Howard, Howard Stern, Howard Hessman, William Peterson, Peter Marshall, Marshall Fields, Mrs. Peacock, Wombat.
The CLW 83 Night Shift, returning October 29th only on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Strawberries, Jim Williams doing the do-si-do, leprechauns rubbing peanut butter on elephants, mud wrestling, video game.
Roll the tape on this.
We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
It was actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
Boy, LeBron, what the heck were you thinking a year ago?
And the Facebook app interface is a really good way to keep yourself relevant and to even make a few bucks off of it if you can.
Yes, I Facebooked my Twitter and then got a restraining order thereafter.
Let's boogie tonight. I'm surprised we got away with this on YouTube.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Steve Bryant, talk show host. You've heard of me, right? Talk show host, a lot of song parodies? Oh, come on, sure you have. Talk show host, does a lot of topical song parodies, not really a liberal, not really a conservative. You know me, Steve Bryant. Okay, well, this is Steve Bryant, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. I never heard of them either.
And we're back, and before we get into the meat and potatoes of the second half of this show, I received an announcement from Mikey that Zack Ryder has posted that everyone is Broski of the Week. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice.
I appreciate that. I can't spike what I don't have, so...
Mine would look very silly spiked, so I'm not even going to go there. So we're going to, but now we need to get to something a little more serious. Gentlemen, how many of you got to see E60 this week and the Scott Hall
Oh God.
Video?
Oh God.
I saw part of it. I couldn't make myself watch all of it.
I made myself watch the whole thing. And I guess I'm a little... I don't want to say more qualified, but the fact that I wasn't watching in the 90s, and everything that I've seen has been archival footage, stuff that, you know, of his glory days. But seeing that indie show that he did, where he was helped to the ring, helped into the ring, and he still fell flat on his face, and still needed somebody to guide him through everything, is just, you know... Again, even fans found this very irresponsible. The promoter makes no apologies, and I think X-Pac just wanted to punch his lights out.
Rightfully so, if I might add.
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
Mm-hmm.
Since you guys have probably been watching a lot longer than I have, and I'll start with you, Stat Boy. Just thoughts.
This was pretty much one of the most intense stories I've ever seen about a wrestler. Ever. More intense than Eddie's death. More intense than Benoit. Mainly because you can still see him. He's still alive. He's still with us. But you can tell that he is slipping, and slipping badly. There's actually something that wasn't even mentioned with E60... that, you know, came up afterwards, apparently, between Scott and his son, Cody. That next month, after they ended their filming of Scott Hall for E60 in April, Cody moved out in May, mainly because he couldn't deal with his dad's belligerence towards him when he was drunk. And that makes it all the more heartbreaking. Oh my God.
Brian, your thoughts?
Jason Block said something to me on Sunday, which I think sums it all up. This should be shown in the locker room of every wrestling promotion in the entire world. You know, part of me feels awful because he's another human being and he made me laugh, he made me entertained, but part of it just, I say, he did a lot of it to himself. And a lot of it is the fact that he just, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. I really don't. You know, rarely am I ever speechless, but I just don't know how to react to this.
No, that's fine. Jason, I'm sure you've got a few things to say, but please keep it brief.
I'll keep it brief. As I said, this is an instructional video. Hey, Jeff, did you see this after you got out of jail?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Matt, take a look at this. This is for you. And anyone who thinks they can get away with it, okay?
Anyone who thinks they're indestructible.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie McMahon, six figures. I'm betting $250,000 or more, okay, they spent on him. You know, 11 medications. He should never be in a wrestling ring again. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Stay
right.
away. Look, we love you. Get help. Get clean. I mean, I don't see him surviving 2012. I don't. I really don't.
And it looks like I'm going to get an extra opinion here. Let me bring him in. Tyler Brown, I heard you were wandering around out there.
Yeah, I just want to say I didn't even, you know, for ESPN to do that, it was a mix between emotions. It was, you remember the 90s, you know, that bad guy, Razor Ramon, you know, that everyone liked, you know, and he was so muscular, and then just seeing him how he's damaged himself so much, you know, it was heartbreaking to see at one point, you know, because, you know, that was one of the guys I respected, you know, because he was, you know, that heel that, you know, I wasn't always a big fan of the Shawn Michaels and the nice guys, you know, sometimes I like the heels, and Razor just knew how to do it, and you know, just looking at him, you know, from 10 years ago where he's walking out on his own on WWF TV and he was the IC champion, and then you go to 10 years later where he can barely walk out of the ring, he has to be assisted by two men, and then he's just kind of laying there in the ring and doing real flimsy chair shots. It's just a real sad situation, and, you know, it needs to be a wake-up call to these younger guys, especially the Hardys, especially, you know, all these people who are in the wrestling business, who think they can just, you know, drink and do whatever they want, and the opinions of the fans and the opinions of, you know, everybody doesn't matter. You know,
right.
We're tired of seeing people die every year. Some of them, you know, natural causes is one thing, but when you're sitting there being hard on yourself and you're thinking that you're invincible because you won the WWE title 10 times or because you were the IC champion 10 years ago, but now you're doing Juggalo Championship Wrestling for, you know, just to put some food on your table, and you can barely do that. That's just sad, you know. You're destroying your family. You know, that was hard to see, was the whole how he's destroyed. You know, his son. He just got back into a relationship with his son, and then his son was like, "Man, my dad's so fucked up. I can't even, you know, I don't even want to mess with it. You know, I don't want to have that last name anymore. You know, that sort of thing going on. You
right.
know, because at one point it would be good for him about 10 years ago if he had that, you know, that last name Hall. Oh yeah, this is Scott Hall's son. And nowadays, people are going to go, ooh, so what? So you're going to be good for a couple years and about 10 years, and then 10 years down the line, you're going to be a drunken mess like your father, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
now,
it was just sad to see, truth be told, just sad.
All right. I'm going to take a chance here. I've got one more line popping in here, and he's somewhere in your neighborhood, Tyler. Line 5, hello. I'm sorry to keep you holding. I guess
I'm
not.
I'm hearing the yelling in the background. I keep thinking it may be Seidelman.
No, the area code's for the Louisville area, but if you're not going to speak, you lose. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's a shame. It's sad to see that we have got a real-life Randy the Ram in Scott Hall.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they even had the reporters say that before they even went into the video package, and they're right. They're 100% right. We have a modern Randy the Ram on our hands, and no, you're fine. It's just a matter, you know, I don't even think he's going to make it to the end of this year. The man's on 11 different medications for heart issues, for seizures, for two or three other things, and judging from the way he was talking when they did get him to talk, he doesn't care anymore. He's waiting to die.
Right.
He said, I should have been dead 100 times. He doesn't know why he's living.
Right. So, and that's why I was encouraged that he was going to be training Cody, and then this epilogue comes out. Scott, man, you know, we're trying, but you got to try too.
Right.
There's
ten times in rehab. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but 10 times.
Right.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
To throw it in. There was one point where they went to X-Pac and Sean Waltman, you know, the whole deal, and where they had asked, he had said something like, well, that guy was a piece of shit allowing Scott to go out in the condition he was in, because it seemed like he simply just didn't want to refund people's money. So would he have been right to just say, hey, you know, Scott's in no condition to be out here? But at the same point in time, the promoter even said that, you know, Scott basically came up to him and said, I want my money now. So, you know, how do you judge that situation the right way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the reasons why I don't want to be a promoter. I do not want to be in this situation, because I would look at him, if he came off the airplane in a wheelchair and he said, I want my money, I would have said, are you actually going to perform, and how are you going to get that wheelchair in the ring? You know, I don't care what you did 10 years ago. I need to know what you can do tonight. And if you mm-hmm. can't even stay conscious long enough to peek out the curtain and walk down a ramp, you are in no shape to compete, and that means I'm in no shape to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would apologize to my fans, but I would tell them, I'm not going to put a drunken stupor of a man in front of you, no matter how famous he is or was,
right,
and ruin my own show over it. That's why X-Pac looked the, you know, listened to the promoter's explanation and said, fuck you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because Pac wasn't at that show, but he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed to think that that show actually happened. Justin Credible said that that was one of the worst shows he's ever worked because of the condition mm-hmm. Scott Hall was in and the insistence that he go out there and perform.
Right.
Fans mm-hmm. will understand. Yes, they're going to be mad. Hell, I was mad when I went up to Michigan to in hopes of meeting Sid Vicious. And I found out that he might have even worked a show in the near area. I was going to go into Taylor to go to Gibraltar to get his autograph and maybe a picture. And then, you know, maybe he would have shown up at Primetime Wrestling just down the block, just down the way. Turns out he never got on the plane. And I don't find out till I'm already on the road and halfway to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I was upset. And rightfully so. When I got there, I ended up meeting, I believe, Al Snow. Who is... That's a fair trade. And... go ahead, Jason.
No. I mean, I've been to shows. And my friend Mark Engel at photo-mark.com, who's a wrestling photographer, has told me many stories of wrestlers being drunk at shows. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Roberts, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, Carlito.
Really?
Yeah. He was shit-faced. Got sober enough to wrestle, but in his opening promo, he was slurring his words. You know?
Like I said, it's stuff like this that this is why I don't want to be a promoter.
Hey, guys. Mm-hmm. I'll be right back, okay?
Oh, go ahead. Okay. So just to this, you know, Scott, I doubt you're listening. I doubt you're awake right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people you need to keep trying for.
Mm-hmm.
Dana loves you. Even though
she can be a head case in her own right.
Cody loves you. Believe it or not, Stephanie and the WWE family love you, I think. They wouldn't have paid for rehab 10 times if they didn't.
And they'll pay mm-hmm. for number 11 if you want it. And Cassidy, Cody's younger sibling, probably still loves you and would like to see you. So, dude, don't give up yet. It ain't over. You can still kind of stand up, kind of walk. I got nothing.
Well, I mean, from that interview, you know, Stephanie even said that WWE is like family. You know, it's like no matter what happens, I mean, I think it's not just the Linda McMahon thing. I think of all the companies, they truly want to help their performers. Because, and then, of course, somebody's going to say, oh, well, here he goes, the TNA bashing. But it's true. You know, look at what TNA's done for their wrestlers. Look at, you know, what, you know, they sit there and they let, you know, one person, because, you know, he gets a DUI, was allowed to go back on TV because he's world champ. And another person, because, you know, he has a wreck and has a DUI, he gets fired. And, you know, or his brother is allowed to stay on TV and the other one's not. It's reverse standards. In the WWE, you do shit like that, you're not going to be on TV. And whether it's because of the PG thing or not, I think that WWE has the more moral stand, despite what you may think about the Fed, that, you know, they basically have dropped down to family programming. You know, no matter how much people may hate it, you know, they actually care about their wrestlers. I feel like they actually care more about their wrestlers.
Well, they got the boot in the butt in 2005 when Eddie died. I really right. think that's where the biggest boot to the butt came. TNA, however, feels they have zero obligation, as proved with the whole situation with Daphne Unger, which right. is just ridiculous. Right. That's a story that's been going around for a bit, actually. That's been going around yeah. for a while.
Has any news come from that, by the way?
There's another story was recently printed, but there really wasn't any new information in it. It's something that we've all heard before. Just the horrible, you know, the fact that these performers are put in situations where they're asked to do a spot that they're not comfortable doing, but then they're, you know, they're told, oh, but this is so important. Oh, this is really gonna sell the angle. This, that, and the other thing. Then they get hurt.
Right.
And the angle, you know, they should know better. In TNA, usually the angle ends up getting dropped, or the angle takes a left turn, and what happens now is no longer even valid. And they'll sit there and try to just, you know, hold out on the hospital bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that to people. And unfortunately, it's not going to change in TNA until somebody dies.
Right. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. it'll probably end up being one of their bigger stars, whether it be somebody that's been there a while, whether it be one of the converts, somebody who's been from the East now going to TNA, which I have a feeling it's going to end up being one of those guys, you know, who has gone from WWE, is now in TNA, doing, you know, okay, has a title or two, and they're going to end up dropping dead, and then TNA is going to have an oh shit moment, and they're going to have to really think hard, and, you know, would it really change things? I hate to say this, but I don't think it would. It would probably, they might end up getting, you know, pulled off the air, because I've heard that one of their backers, their original backers from Spike, actually got fired off the board of sports and programming on Spike, and
right.
Spike may be turning their focus away from programming into MMA. So that's going to be a real big blow. If that combined with everything else, you know, all this bad stuff that's been going on, with all this press, this negative press that TNA has been getting because of their stars, TNA, I'm not going to, you know, go along with these speculators and say, oh, Vince is going to buy them up, because I'm sure he ain't going to touch that shit with a 10-foot pole. But anyways, what I think is that, you know, TNA is just going to fade into obscurity, and, you know, those who may want to try to go back to the E can do so if they'd like, but, you know, WWE has proven itself to be the number one. Not just because of its programming and its longevity, but just because of how they know how to run a business more than the young guys, per se, at TNA. The amateurs, I should say. And Dixie Carter, I'm pointing at you.
It just, you know, I hate to say it, but it's almost, in this situation, it almost feels like deja vu, that Spike could feasibly pull the plug on TNA. Bischoff's going to scramble. He's going to try to find another network that's going to take him. Nobody's going to take him. And that's just going to make everything fall apart.
Well, what I've got this funny feeling is they're going to even try to go as far as, okay, well, what Bischoff's going to sit there and scramble, and it's going to be to a point where, okay, what networks do we have shows on? Okay, we've got VH1 with some reality shows. We've got True TV. So they'd probably try True TV is the last push, because they've got Hulk Hogan's Micro Championship Wrestling, or what the fuck ever that shit is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to turn into a clusterfuck, and God okay. damn it, manager.
I know what it's for already.
No, this is, let me look. Oh, cool. The general manager says, and I quote, "This has been some very riveting discussion. I'm glad that everybody, you know, that everybody has been chipping in. We still have one great big piece to go for the show. Actually, you have a couple of things to talk about, Nikki, but once you're done talking about those, please go into Pick'ems, because I've given you an extra 30 minutes.
Damn.
Oh, all right.
Bingo.
So, thank you, boss. So, ooh. I will get on that right away. First thing is, before we go into our pick'ems, is that November 20th, that would be the Sunday of Survivor Series, North American Wrestling Connection is going to be doing another pick'ems special.
Yay! Excellent!
We're gonna do another lead into the pay per view. I don't know if we're doing 30 or 60 minutes. I'll check again with the honchos. Where we're gonna talk about one of the big four. And we're gonna put in the pick'ems, and we're gonna have a lot of fun talking about it leading into Survivor Series, along with ordering a whole lot of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The other thing I need to brag about, we are 5 episodes away, ladies and gentlemen, from episode 200.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which means by the end of the year, we'll be passing WrestleCrap. Damn.
Yes. To that, I just, you know, I'm not going to reveal the name. Some of you already know who I've picked, but I am going to have a wrestler on our 2-hour special who is going to come in and talk to us a bit about the business. And I think we're going to have a whole lot of fun having him on the show. I'm not going to say who it is until we get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
And no spilling the beans, Jason.
I don't remember, but okay.
Good. We'll keep it that way. But yes, the 200th show is going to be an absolute blast. I want as many people there as possible. We're going to get in a ton of trouble. We're going to make a whole lot of noise. If we do it right, we'll probably crash BTR.
That's, yes, good. Excellent.
So, Staff Boy, get your spreadsheet ready.
Spreadsheet ready to go.
Thank you. We have 11 points for this pay-per-view because I am introducing a new wrinkle. We have had way too many ties.
Sorry.
There's way too many ties going on here. And Daniel Bryan had nothing to do with it. Stop that.
Oh,
hello.
Because I know that's exactly what's been going on in that head of your Staff Boy. Stop that. Am I right?
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Reign of Terror.
Okay.
Easy, champ. Easy.
You're going to get your something, something, yeah.
I'm going to get... Let's...
No.
Probably going to get punched by someone tonight. Call me All-American. I'm not a redneck running through.
So, but we are adding a bonus wrinkle into the pick'ems. And chat room, you know, you might have to send your bonus part of this to Statboy directly on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Wild Card. Now, we've done this, some of you guys have done this anyway with our pay-per-view pick'ems. Where essentially, when you go ahead and make your decision on a match, you get to take one wild card per pay-per-view, and throw in a bonus something that you think is going to happen on top of what's going on with said match. I'll give you a perfect example. Mark Henry versus Big Show. Say your pick'em is that Big Show is going to win. But your wild card is the fact that Big Show is going to win because John Morrison interferes. If John Morrison does interfere and Big Show wins the belt, you get a wild card point. So, think long and hard about that as we go into our pick'ems for Vengeance.
Right. And here we go. The bottom match on my list, the one that I unfortunately think has the least importance, is Christian versus Sheamus. Not saying it's not important, it's just saying in the whole scheme of things, it's going to be the least important. So, let's get it on.
Let us indeed get it on. Teddy Long kind of threw this out there since... Christian still insists on one more match, but he's got to be more specific because Teddy Long's going to keep doing this crap to him. Mm-hmm. So now Christian gets one more match against the Great White. Jason, who do you got?
I got the fella. They have been booking him around. Christian is still going to be the whiny guy who's in the mid-card right now. And Sheamus wins.
Can do. Brian.
Okay. As much as I want to believe that they want to rebuild Sheamus's heat, I think in this particular match, Christian has to find a way to win. So I'm going to say Christian wins.
Okay. Tyler, since you're here.
I'm going to go with Sheamus, and because I think Sheamus is going to come out strong, and we'll see maybe even after this match, we'll see some sort of revision of Christian's 90s gimmick where he was the crybaby Christian and he'll throw tantrums every time he loses a match.
No!
Stat boy.
Unfortunately, it's going to be a darn near burial again, although it's not exactly going to be that type of burial. Sheamus wins again. Christian, say hello to the mid-card for me.
You're going to laugh at me.
Ha, ha, ha.
But I'm going to play my wild card at the bottom of the card.
Wow.
Christian wins because of an assist from either Vicky Guerrero or Jack Swagger, based on a conversation that happened on tonight's SmackDown.
So, Vicky Guerrero, Swagger interference.
Is my wild card.
Gotcha.
Is that everybody?
That is everybody. Just for everybody else's sake, on the chat room, or in here, Christian was chosen by Nikki and Brian. Josh, Carl, Jim, Josh, Carl, Jim, Tyler, Jason, Ethan, and VRM all pick Sheamus, and VRM's withdrawing himself. Meh.
Boo. Chicken.
Congratulations, you don't get my title. Mine.
Next match, sir.
All right, next match up is one of the brand new ones announced tonight on Friday Night SmackDown. For the United States Championship, Dolph Ziggler faces against the Long Island IC, Zack Ryder. Who you got?
Who do I got? I got Mr. Ryder, because the boy deserves it for getting himself over despite a huge lack of TV time. Jason, who you got?
I got the Long Island IC for a different reason. Let's just say there are very few people who hold two belts. Ziggler ain't going to be one of them, and I'll explain to you why later. Woo, 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 the champ. Zack Ryder.
Brian?
Zack Ryder is going to win this match. If you look at what's been happening, he got a nice write-up in WWE Magazine. WWE is getting everyone. The WWE is getting it. They're getting that he has got over. And this is going to be the continuation of his rise. So, I think he's going to get the championship, but this isn't the end of the feud between him and heel Ziggler.
Tyler.
Well, after thinking about it some, I'm going to actually go with Dolph keeping the title, because I just something about the funny feelings, and one of them is the coalition that he's got with Christian and Swagger and Guerrero, that sort of huge coalition. So,
honestly, it's time to play the wild card.
Play it.
Me too, Wade.
I'm going to play it. And here's, it's going to be, you know, Zach's going to get so close, and either Swagger Guerrero or Christian, Christian might not even bother with that match, but at least Swagger or Guerrero is going to jump on the apron, distract the ref, when Ryder's like, say, a count or two away from the win, and then Guerrero or Swagger's going to either interfere or something along those lines. I've got a funny feeling, and Dolph will manage to retain the title. somehow, some way, maybe even by the skin of his teeth.
Fair enough.
All right, and it's now to me.
Yeah, who you got?
Unfortunately, this is too soon, in my opinion, to pull the trigger on Ryder. This is his first time facing off against Ziggler for the United States Championship, which means he's probably going to lose. I will pick Ziggler to win with the full assurance that Ryder's going to win it in the next pay-per-view. Survivor Series, U.S. Champion. That will happen.
Ooh. Interesting.
Alright, and we're on to the second match of the Ziggler night.
What do the other people say?
Okay, here we go. Ryder was chosen by Nikki, by Brian, and by Jason, Ethan, Tyler, Jim, Carl, and myself all chose Ziggler with two wild cards played. Jim chose the wild card. There will be a cameo from the masked character from The True Long Island Story showing up during the night to make interference happen. And, of course, Tyler's pick of wild card with Vicky Guerrero or Jack Swagger interference, much like your match with Christian versus Sheamus. However, one important caveat, if that happens during this match, Nikki doesn't get the point, and then vice versa.
Right.
Is that right? All right.
That's exactly right.
Okay, now we get to our unified WWE Tag Team Championship match, as we have Air Boom, Evan Bourne, and Kofi Kingston facing off against the newly minted team of Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. Who wins and who gets pinned?
All right, we will start with Tyler.
I've been liking the chemistry of Air Boom. It's been amazing. The chemistry between Swagger and Ziggler is not that good as a tag team. So they would work for each other, but not cohesively in tag team action. So I'm going to say that Air Boom is going to win, and that Swagger will take the pin.
Brian.
Honestly, this could go either way. Personally, I think they want to keep Air Boom on the rise. But I honestly don't know how they're going to pull this off. Now, we only have one wild card to play, right?
Right. Yes.
Well, I have to wait to Larry to play this one because I have a wild card in mind. So I'm going to say that the winners will be Ziggler and Swagger, but there will be shenanigans involved. But I'm not playing the wild card yet.
All right, who gets pinned?
Who gets pinned?
Yep.
Probably it's going to be Evan.
Okay.
Jason?
This is so simple it isn't funny. Since Dolph doesn't have a belt around his waist, he's going to have one with Swagger. They have been building up Swagger and Ziggler and Guerrero's heel stable. Swagger pins Kofi to win the belt way easy.
Let's see. I'm in the same neighborhood. I see Swagger and Ziggler taking care of business. Of course, there will be shenanigans. Ziggler pins Evan. Evan has been laid up a bit with a neck stinger from a previous match from Swagger. So I think they're going to try to keep Ziggler strong despite the U.S. title pick I had earlier. Ziggler pins Evan for the tag straps.
Okay.
Stat boy?
As for me, I will choose that Air Boom retains their belts. And who gets pinned? Well, I'm not playing my wild card here because that would be a bit silly, but I will say Ziggler gets pinned after Ryder decides to get his nose in the business.
Is that a wild card?
No, it's not. I am saving my wild card for later.
Okay.
And the chat room picks?
All right.
You don't have to repeat our picks, just the chat room picks.
Okay. That means Jim, Airboom retains with Ziggler getting pinned himself. Let's see, now it's Brian, Tyler, Jason. Okay, I'm missing someone. Oh, Carl, that's right. Carl picks Swagger Ziggler to win, Bourne get pinned. And Ethan chooses Airboom to win with Swagger getting pinned. Now, we're to the last non-either main event or title matches. Although, to be honest, it should be for the Intercontinental, just to put it out there. Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. Who wins?
This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to this. Write it down, folks. I'm looking forward to a Randy Orton match.
Ah, see, oh my God, the world's
ending. Know it.
Unfortunately, since the belt is not involved, Randy Orton wins. Jason.
Oh, I disagree totally. Cody has to get over Randy right now to make because it's non-title, Cody has to get over. That's the point. Cody wins.
Tyler.
Okay, this is where I've got to say, I think, Nikki, that me and your Uncle Paul are going to have to get together on Twitter or something and get you an intervention. You enjoying a Orton match. Good God.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me right now.
Yeah, we had an interesting conversation about Hardcore Pawn, and he got a little confused in his old age. Anyways, that's...
Go to the
NAWC page on Facebook to get found out what happened there. But anyways... I'm going to have to say Orton because he had the downgraded momentum not too long ago, and, you know, he's got a lot of rage built up, and he's a viper. So this viper is just going to probably destroy him. Now, of course, with being PG, there's not going to be a huge bloodbath, but it's going to get very, very physical. Orton takes the win.
Statboy?
All right, I just want to make sure who has chosen and who hasn't.
And on the roster here, everybody but I think Brian.
Okay, just wanting to make sure, or Brian and myself. I here will be picking, unfortunately, Randy Orton. Why Randy Orton? That's why.
So Brian.
Randy Orton. He's going to get the pick because he is. He is in any way the chosen one, so he's got to win. But I think they'll do it in such a way.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Ball match.
But the thing is, they'll do it in such a way to where Cody won't lose too much of his heat.
Fair enough.
All right. And here... Artie picks from the chat room. Carl picks Randy Orton. Jim Williams and Nathan Musilin both pick Cody Rhodes. And now to the second title match. Beth Phoenix versus Booty Popper.
Eve Torres?
Yes, that's her. That's
okay.
Her.
I would like to comment first that whatever Beth Phoenix was attempting to wear tonight was absolutely hideous. And I'm not a fashionista.
Hideous or not, she's still pin-up strong.
Just for that, hard, Tyler, you get strong. The pick.
Okay, well, fine. Let's do this thing. You know, Beth has been on a roll. I've been following her tweets on Twitter, you know. Anyways... And, you know, I just feel like Beth has finally got back what she had when she was on Raw, and it's just that raw, unadulterated power that she needs, where she's not that friendly little girly girl. She's the powerhouse of the diva division. She's the Trish Stratus of the 2000s. So I feel like that she's got enough strength, she's got enough power, that she's just going to dominate it, and that's all I've got to say about that.
So, Phoenix and Spades.
Sure.
Okay.
Brian?
It's going to be Beth Phoenix with help from Natalya, and they will now begin the rampant, constant destruction of the WWE Divas Division that will continue until our old friend Awesome Kong decides to come back and kill her some bitches dead.
Looking forward to it. Jason?
Oh, it's Beth Phoenix in a walk. Eve Torres ain't going to win this. No way.
That boy, you agree?
Wait a minute, did you just say Eve?
No, he said Beth.
Okay, just wanting to make sure. All right, here, this is probably the second easiest match on the entire frickin' card. No way is Booty Popper even gonna get close. Beth Phoenix in a fucking glorified squash.
And it's gonna be so pretty.
Yes.
I squash Eve Torres with a broom. Anyway.
All right. Yep. Beth Phoenix got the broom from everybody, but with a wild card in play. Carl Chenier has played his wild card. Kelly turns heel.
Ooh.
Interesting. Just on these picks alone, you guys are starting to convince me that I might actually have to put the kale down to see this show.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
All right. Next one and the last non-title match. The evil Dr. Levescu and Hookie Monster Punk face off against Awesome Truth. Who you got to win and who gets pinned?
I want to pick first. It's my show, damn it.
Okay.
To do this correctly, I'm not going to go with the smart answer. The smart answer would be the evil doc pins the Miz. Quite the contrary.
Mm-mm.
Quite the contrary. CM Punk pins R-Truth. Is
and
my call.
I will want to go next, actually, because it's about time that something gets unleashed. Wild card.
Play that wild card, Mr. Stat Boy.
Well, I want to go next because I'm playing mine.
Go
awesome
ahead.
Awesome Truth wins as a result of direct interference from Mr. John Laurinaitis. Obviously,
ooh,
this is a pretty popular pick because Ethan just did the exact same thing. The guy who will win is Miz. The guy who will be looking at stars is Triple H himself.
Bite your tongue, sir.
Nope. So, interference from Johnny Ace. Ethan goes mostly the same route, except for he picks CM Punk to win.
All right. Brian, I hear you waving your wild card.
Throw that sumbitch down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's how it's going to happen. It's going to be a good match. I really believe this is going to be a real good match. Because you got two awesome workers in The Miz and CM Punk. What's going to happen is the evil Dr. Levescu is going to get screwed over royally by Johnny Ace, the former dynamic dude. He is going to finally reveal himself as the evil puppet master of the universe that he truly is. And with any luck, we'll finally get Mike Walden as a backstage interviewer. But that's unimportant right now. I will beat that joke into the ground. I don't care. Here's how it's going to happen. Awesome Truth is going to win. I've got The Miz pinning Triple H. Wild card is it's direct outside interference from the one and only Johnny Ace.
A lot of us. Popular opinion.
Yeah. Jason, what do you got?
Oh, this is not where my wild card is going, because I think that while, yes, Mr. Laurinaitis will try to screw Triple H, it still will be CM Punk and Triple H winning, because CM Punk is going to pin R-Truth. The wild card will be in maybe one or two matches from now.
Yep, okay. It'll have to be one the next two.
I know. I've got a big one. My wild card is going to be the biggest one ever. So
let's see. So who have I missed on the show?
Tyler is the last one.
Okay, Tyler, who you got on the tag? And make it quick, because we got two more matches yet.
I'm going to call it as Miz and Truth, just so that they can get a little bit more stuff, momentum going back into Raw into the next pay-per-view.
And who pins who?
Miz pins Triple H.
Okay. Stat Boy, what do you got left?
All right. Just for knowledge of everyone, Ethan chose mostly the same as I did, except for he changed that last part of the who gets pinned a Punk. He has the same wild card. Jim also has Miz Truth winning, with Hunter getting pinned. And let's see now, the last one's Carl. Triple H Punk wins with R-Truth getting pinned. All right, now we're to our first of two world title matches. Mark Henry versus The Big Show. Who wins?
I'm going to make it quick and easy. Big Show has momentum. Mark Henry retains. Stat Boy, what do you got?
Third easiest match on the card to choose for me. Mark Henry wins.
Jason.
Mark Henry in a walk. They still got to build him up.
Brian.
Mark Henry will retain the championship, setting up an epic rematch at the Survivor Series.
And Tyler?
Henry.
Easy. That's easy. And I bet, do you have a broom for that, Stat Boy?
Not quite yet. I'm still waiting on Ethan to turn his pick in. And there we go. Somebody's going to get their lunch stolen. Somebody's going to get a Twinkie. Somebody's going to get a cheeseburger. Somebody's going to get a pizza. And somebody's going to get a fucking broom in the process.
Dips on the pizza.
All right. Now, we are two.
Somebody's going to get the ass kicked.
We are two. The true main event, unfortunately, because this guy always main events the pay-per-view.
Down.
It is last man standing. Alberto Del Rio, your WWE champion, versus it's a bird. It's a plane! It's Super Cena!
And the button's not working. There we go. But don't let that color your pick'ems, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I said that with a straight face. So, with that in mind, I'm just going to just get mine out there. Last man standing. Last chance match. The Mexico tour is over. John Cena wins. Right, Jason?
Yes, but here is where my wild card comes in.
Oh, here we go.
Hang on to your seats, folks.
Okay.
Hanging.
Cena is going to win with help from The Rock, setting up the Survivor Series tape. Del Rio and Rodriguez is going to screw everything over. There's going to be ref chaos all over the place. And Laurinaitis is going to be out of the picture somehow. Rock comes in to save a day.
I've got a button for that. Hang on. And I can't find it. Where to go? Yeah, this will work.
Ninja, please!
You don't think so.
And unfortunately, I think we're in archives.
No.
We still got 5 minutes yet.
Yeah, Jim said and the show ended.
What?
Yeah.
My so on-air says 5 minutes. We're going to keep going.
Keep going.
Brian.
Cena will win over Del Rio, but Del Rio will not lose his heat.
Tyler?
Super Cena.
And Statboy.
It's a bird. It's a plane. God damn it, it's Super Cena. All right, I'm still waiting for picks from Carl and Jim, and then we're good to go, and I believe I would bet apples to oranges it's going to be a broom match. Yep, Carl picks Cena. And we're just waiting on Jim. I would assume he's going to pick Cena. So, once again, that title match. Bring out your brooms!
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yep, and there we go. Super Cena wins. Bring out your brooms. I'll fire this off into our Facebook. And then from there, we'll get it going.
Yep. And Jason, to be honest, I had a better comment for you for your wild card.
Shazam!
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. You don't think so.
No. That's more like holy shit, that ain't a bad idea. I'm not saying it won't happen. I think it'd be a nice thing. And I'm actually surprised that nobody... Well, actually, I'm surprised of a wild card that didn't get played by anybody.
Which was?
We're in San Antonio for this pay-per-view, and Triple H is going to be in a tag team match.
Oh, shit!
I mean, come on. You realize he's going to have some backup of his own, because... Yeah, he's you know, him and Punk aren't friends.
What are you looking at?
We're in your hometown.
All right.
So, Nikki, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
I'm ready to buy that damn T-shirt, that's for sure. But, gentlemen, I am so glad that we got this show all under control, and thank you, GM, for giving us the extra 30 minutes, because we sorely needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else getting this pay-per-view? Because I think I'm actually going to belly up and get one.
I have a gig. I can't buy the pay-per-view. Actually, I have a gig this Monday.
And I don't have the money necessary.
Welcome to the economy. Anyway.
Ouch.
Yeah. But anyway, listen, I'm going to hang up, but this was a very good show, and I hope it all works out for you guys.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you.
Good night.
And it looks like our Chica is getting ready to kick us, is going to be kicking us off momentarily. So, gentlemen, why don't we just call it here?
Yep.
Can I just say something really, really quick?
You got a minute and 15 seconds. Go.
It won't take that long. I want to wish my sister a happy 35th birthday tomorrow. And if anybody would like to have a meetup with me, tomorrow night at 11 o'clock in the evening, I will be at the Tennessee Theater for their live broadcast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Awesome.
So I should have a good time. Nikki, as always, thanks for the line. Thanks for the vine. I out.
Thank you, Brian. And Tyler, Statboy, thank you for being here. And guys, wonderful show. Let's call it a night. North American Wrestling Connection says good night and enjoy your weekend, folks.
Sayonara.
Bye-bye.
you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.